Amen. I want to continue in our study of Daniel. So let's turn to chapter 3, if you'd like to turn the scriptures. Chapter 3 of Daniel. What I want from this is a New Testament lesson from Old Testament scriptures. These lessons are just as good for us today as they ever were for Old Testament saints. And I believe if you think about it a little bit, we're going to be talking about some people who have put off their flesh and put on the new. Right. All right, these are ones who were interested in pleasing God and standing up for God and doing what God says, regardless of what their circumstances were. And I tell you, Brother Kenneth mentioned something about we can do that no matter what our circumstances. God will bless us. And in chapter 3 here in Daniel, I think you'll find three of God's people that found themselves in circumstances far more dire than many of us have. And what a blessing that we can see how they were faithful to God. All right, so Daniel chapter 3. Last week, we noticed how that Daniel was blessed to interpret a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And that dream would survey the Gentile empires from the time of Nebuchadnezzar unto the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was during the Roman Empire. Okay? Part of that interpretation, that there was a great image, and there was a head of gold, and then silver, and then brass, and then feet of iron and clay. And part of the interpretation, as I said, was that Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, "Thou art the head of gold." Yeah. Now, I don't know how much Nebuchadnezzar thought about that, but in this next chapter, we find Nebuchadnezzar has commanded for a great image to be set up of gold. All right? Kind of makes you wonder if Nebuchadnezzar didn't rather, well, if I'm the head of gold in this great thing, then we'll set up an image here. Now, I'm doing a little supposing here, so I'm just kind of thinking about what may have happened in real life here. So, but the lesson, we're not told just what Nebuchadnezzar was thinking, but we are told about what he began to do. All right, hope you found Daniel 3 by now. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. Now, this thing's massive. Whose height was 70 cubits. You know how tall that is in feet? About 90 feet. 90 feet tall. And the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. All right? So that would be about 9 feet. Okay? Now, it's only given two dimensions here. So, maybe, you know, maybe this image was kind of rounded. You know, body, some of us are a little rotund, you know. maybe it's kind of that way, but I got to thinking about this. You know, that's a lot of gold. Yeah. A lot of gold. And if you do a little math here and try to come up with, you know, just some kind of an approximation of how much gold would have been in that statue, we're not told if it's solid or not, okay? But it was an image of gold. And if it was solid, I mean, if you do some math here, you're going to come up with numbers that only Congress usually talks about in spending our taxes. I mean, you're talking, well, an ounce of gold, you know, is what, $1,900? A gold bar is about 400 troy ounces. So you can, and it's got dimensions. So you could do some math here. And what I did, and I just figured, okay, one of it's about 5 feet thick, you know. And I came up with $120 billion dollars of gold in today's valuation. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I'm just saying, this is a tremendous thing, and it's made of gold. The king thought a lot of himself, by the way. Okay. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So remember now, we're talking about Babylon when God's people were carried away as captives into Babylon. As the crow flies, it would be about 500 miles. But the route that they would have to take by foot was about 900 miles. Could easily take them 100 days to walk that. You know, probably more, I don't know. But just think about 900 miles or of traveling. But anyway, this is a long way from Jerusalem, all right? And so here in the plains of Dura, Nebuchadnezzar set up this image. All right, verse 2, the Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather to get. Notice what he's about to do. He set up this great image, and he's going, and this is a vast, and that's why I mentioned it's 500 miles away from Jerusalem. And this is a vast kingdom. It had many provinces. It had many rulers, many governors, many people of authority. And Nebuchadnezzar has set up this image, and he wants to bring all of those VIPs. He wants all of them to come to the dedication of this image. And I'm going to read, and you understand, it's not just some dedication. There's a lot involved here Nebuchadnezzar's doing, all right? He sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, treasurers, counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar king had set up. Then the governor, then the princes, then all of those people, okay, they gathered together at the dedication of the image, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. All right, anybody that's anybody, as far as the government is concerned, as far as those who had to listen to Nebuchadnezzar, they're brought together. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded." This is not an invitation. This is not an option. They are being commanded, O people, nations, and languages. I suspect there were people there who didn't even understand what the herald was saying. Different languages? But, you know, if they're gonna buy into the program, they're just gonna follow along with what everybody else is doing. And that's part of what my lesson is today. Are we going along with the world? Or do we want to know what God says, how we should live our life? That is a tremendous question that each one of us needs to ask ourselves, and we need to find an answer. Are we going to do what God says, or are we just going to go along with the world? Okay? Are these three going to go along with the world? You've probably heard this story already. All right? So the herald cried, verse 5, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, here's what they're commanded to do, to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Does it matter whether or not you go along with the program? What they were being commanded to do was to bow down and worship the image. That's one thing. But then as a matter of coercion, they're going to say, now if you don't, you're going to be burned in a fiery furnace. So here's my question. What would you do? What would you do? I think it's a great question, don't you? Are you going to go with the program you know, with the way the world is? Are we just going to live the way whatever the world tells us to do? Are we interested in doing what God says? What would we do? Put yourself in their sandals. What would you do? You're one of these three Jews. And by the way, Daniel's not mentioned here, so I'm not sure where he was. But nevertheless, the lesson here is for these three. What would you do? The commandment is bow down and worship this image when you hear the music. Would you bow down? If you don't, you're going to get burned in a fiery furnace. What would you do? I'm taking a lot of time with this because I hope you'll roll it over in your mind a little bit. All right? I would hope that every one of God's people would say, I'm not bowing down to that image. But I'm afraid we see some in the world today that are. All right? So what I'm saying and what I'm trying to bring to you is that this is very New Testament here. It's an Old Testament lesson, but it's very New Testament principles, isn't it? Are we going to put off the old and put on the new, or are we just going to go with the program and listen to the king? All right? Okay. Now, all right, so I hope I've got the commandment and the consequences if you don't follow the commandments. Now, let's put on some Jewish ears. Let's put ourselves in the place of those Jews. What is that commandment calling upon them to violate from the Word of God? Okay? What is, well, you know, for the Jew, you know, remember chapter 1, they purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves. All right? This is very closely related to that. If they do what they're being commanded to do, they're going to defile themselves, because here's a direct violation of the Word of God. All right? What are they being commanded? Okay, so as a Jew, when they're being told that you must, if you don't want to burn in a fiery furnace, you must bow down to this image. Do you realize that that's a direct violation of the first two of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make a graven image and bow down to worship it. The very first, do you suppose that those two are so important that God put them at the front of the list in case you didn't read the whole list? How important is that? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is, nothing else is supposed to get between us and God. If something else is closer to God than us, it's gotten between us. Oh, I wouldn't let that happen, preacher. Really. I'll have to confess to you, there have been times in my life when things have gotten in the way. All right. I hope it never happens again, but it has. All right. So, first of all, for those Jews that heard that commandment, that's a direct violation of commandment number one, a direct violation of commandment number two. All right? They're also under a tremendous amount of pressure to conform to what's around them. All right? If you don't do this, you're going to have to go in a fiery furnace, right? So there's great pressure. You ever felt peer pressure? You know, peer pressure doesn't stop when you grow up. Yeah. There's always something going on around us that wants us to join in and do those things that are happening around us, okay? God knows that. That's why he gave us his word, to give us instructions, to teach us how we should live our lives, all right? So not only were they violating, that would have been a violation of the first two commandments, it was also been a matter of giving in to the peer pressure, and there was a tremendous consequence here. If they went along they didn't roll along with the program, they'd burn up in a fiery furnace. I mean, they were in quite a pickle, weren't they? all the more reason to know what God's Word says. You know, years ago, the Statler brothers, some of you are old enough to remember the Statler brothers. They were great, weren't they? I don't know if they're still singing or not. But anyway, they recorded a song, "They Wouldn't Bend, They Wouldn't Bow, They Wouldn't Burn." It's a great song. And we listened to it recently, and I think they were following the King James wording, you know, in that. But nevertheless, in the song, it was, like I said, it's a really good song, and it talks about they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. All right? So let's remember that now as we're going in, because I'm going to modify that when we get to the end here. All right? So at the sound of the music, well, let's see, verse 7. That's where I left off. "Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people," did you catch that? "All the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up." Did all of them bow down? Okay, let's keep reading. "Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews." You know, it's interesting. When you're trying to do what's right, you can just about count on somebody pointing it out. That's just not going along with the program, right? So here we go. Verse 9, "They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth that... that he should be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace." All right? Now they make their accusation. "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon." You remember back in the previous chapter? After Daniel and had interpreted the dreams, then when Daniel was promoted in such a great way by Nebuchadnezzar, he asked for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be placed over the affairs of Babylon. All right? So they're reminding him, "You put them there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king," and notice what their accusation is. They're going to accuse them of three things. "They have not regarded thee, O king." Now, let's pause right there. You remember, Nebuchadnezzar has brought in all of these rulers and all of these VIPs over all of his realm to worship this image, which is an image of Nebuchadnezzar, to show their absolute subjection to King Nebuchadnezzar. He's such a great king, they're all bowing down to worship. Except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All right? So their accusation is, "They have not regarded thee." You see how embarrassing that would be for the king? For people not to do what he says when he's in the absolute monarch? I mean, he can throw them in that furnace. "They haven't regarded thee. They're going to make you look bad, king. You commanded them to do that, and they're not doing it. They have not regarded thee, nor do they serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." They wouldn't bend. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and his fury, why? Why is he so mad? Because he's the king. You got to do what the king says. If you don't, you're in trouble. All right? Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true?" Now, at least he has enough regard for these three that he's not going to immediately throw them into the furnace. Right. "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready," he's going to give them a second chance. "If you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, if you'll do, when you hear the music, if you fall down and worship, we'll be fine. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Now, you've read this before, haven't you? I've preached this before many, many times, but several times here probably. All right? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Now he's in trouble. Because now he has given an affront to the God of heaven. He has issued a challenge. What God can deliver you from my hand? You see that? Do you think God's going to ignore that? All right? Verse 16, these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, answered the king and said, "O Nebuchadnezzar, listen to this. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Now, why did they say it that way? You know, what they're saying is, "King, you can give us all the chances you want to. We are not changing our mind. We don't have to think about this. We've already decided we don't want to defile ourselves with God. And so we don't have to be careful about this. We're not going to change our mind." All right? "If it be so, if you throw us into the fiery furnace, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." Now, they said he's able. They didn't know if he would, but they knew he was able to. All right? "And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." All right? "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Do you hear the resolve in their voice? Do you hear the courage? Do you hear the boldness of their faith? Even when they knew that they were facing the threat of death. I tell you, I have a great admiration for these three, don't you? And I pray that I could be so bold in our day if something comes up to where it challenges us or threatens us to do away with the way we worship God and have to, you know, persecution in such a way that would tempt us to worship someone else. Okay? All right, so he says, "Our God's able to deliver us out of the furnace, deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. Now, it said he was mad earlier, But at least he was having a little patience and giving them another chance. I think he had a high regard for these three. But now his visage has changed. Now he's completely angry toward them, and he's going to carry out what the sentence is. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. In other words, they were going to heat it up 7 times hotter than it usually was. Sounds like he's angry, doesn't it? All right. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. You know, let me pause right here. You see what's happening. Nebuchadnezzar's angry. Why? Because they're making him look bad. I mean, his pride is being, his rulership is being challenged. Okay? They're not going to do what he says. All right? So now he goes and gets the mightiest men in his army to cast them into the fire. Okay? Here's one of those really good examples to me of Psalm 76, verse 10. Psalm 76, verse 10, where the psalmist says, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee." Surely the wrath of man. This is Nebuchadnezzar's wrath, but you know how it's going to turn out, don't you? It's not going to turn out in Nebuchadnezzar's favor. No, it's going to turn out in God's favor. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath thou wilt restrain. All right? I'm sure Nebuchadnezzar wasn't finished with being mad, but he's going to change. God's going to show him something. All right? All right, so verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right there, Nebuchadnezzar's already lost some of the mightiest men in his army because of his anger, because of his pride. Okay? And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. I guess it's all over. I guess Nebuchadnezzar won. No, you read this. Nebuchadnezzar didn't win. It's not all over. As a matter of fact, it's just really getting good, isn't it? All right? They're bound, they're cast into the fiery furnace, and it starts burning. But it's not burning them. It's not burning their clothes. It's burning off the things by which they were bound, because they were walking around loosed. Think about what that means. When we're trusting God, when we're looking to Him for whatever we stand in need of, He is able to deliver us. And those things that were a hindrance to us prior to that, He's able to remove those and preserve us. All right? All right, so let's keep going. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast 3 men into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Not like some of the versions that say, like a God. No, he's the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. There was a specific message that was given to Nebuchadnezzar when he looked into that furnace, and what he saw was an answer to the question he'd asked earlier. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? And God blessed him to see who it was, because he saw a pre-incarnate vision of the Son of God right there in the fire with them. And the fire gave no hurt. They weren't burned. They were as free as anywhere they've ever been inside the fiery furnace, because the Son of God was right there with them. You see who their salvation was? Their salvation, the Son of God, was right there with them at that time. And I will tell you something. The Son of God is our salvation just as much today as he will be in eternity. He is the one that saves us in our times of trouble. He's the one that saves us from all of our troubles. He's the one that's redeemed us from all our sins. Bless your hearts. He is our Savior. And it was our Savior that was standing there with them in the furnace right then. Right. Somebody might say, well, preacher, he wasn't even born then. He's the eternal Son of God. Amen. He's the one that was with the Father in the beginning. Go read chapter 1 of how the gospel according to John, how it began. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, okay, the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus didn't begin his existence when he was born in Bethlehem. He was always the Son of God, but God determined, or God ordained, that he would send his Son and give him a body of flesh so that he could be a man who could suffer and die to redeem us from our sins. But the Son of God has always been. That's who was with those three in the fiery furnace. Before he had a body of flesh, he came and appeared with them in the fiery furnace, and he enabled Nebuchadnezzar to see him. All right? That's amazing, isn't it? Bless your hearts. If you ever, you know, sometimes we speak of fire and relate that to our troubles. And there's times when we feel like that we're in the fire. Bless your heart. If you're walking with the Lord, he's right there with you. He can help you. He can deliver you. He can provide what he needs to do. He is able. Just like these three said, we know he's able. And bless your hearts, not only did they know it, they followed through. They trusted. They trusted that he would deliver them one way or another. And, you know, even if we come to an end, if some calamity happens to us and it takes our life in this world, if we're walking with the Lord, if we're one of his children, we're taken home to be with him in glory. What kind of deliverance is that? That's the greatest deliverance of all. Okay? All right, so the Son of God, the fourth, Nebuchadnezzar, did we cast in three? I see four. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. That's our salvation. The Son of God. Not a God, the Son of God. All right. Where do we leave off? 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, listen, who saw this? the princes, governors, and captains, and kings, counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." You see, Nebuchadnezzar had challenged whether their God was able to deliver them. You know, he'd said, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" Well, now he's seen it. And remember now how this fits into the whole theme of the book of Daniel. God's people, God's favored people, God's people who God had delivered many times and had blessed them in so many ways, now they have been carried over into captivity. And so there are those, no doubt, that are blaspheming the name of the true and living God as if to say, "Why, he's not able to take care of me anymore. Why didn't he deliver them then?" When the real story is, they had transgressed so many times that God said, "That's it, you're going into bondage." And that's what God was judging his own people. And he sent the Babylonians in to get. Now, the Babylonians thought they were the ones that were the conquerors. But God was just using them to carry out his purposes. And so when King Nebuchadnezzar got lifted up in himself, thinking, "You know, I'm going to have everybody worshiping me." But those three wouldn't bow down. They wouldn't bend and they wouldn't bow. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, cast them into the furnace. But the Lord was right there with them because, let me go ahead and get this before I forget it. The reason, because they didn't bend and because they wouldn't bow, that's why they didn't burn. That's why. If they'd have gone along with the program, they'd have probably been, you know, things would have been a lot different. If they'd have bowed down, we wouldn't be talking about this today. But bless your hearts, because they didn't bend, because they didn't bow, God delivered them, and they didn't burn. All right? That's what made the difference. They put on the whole armor of God. They were trusting God. They were going into that furnace wholly believing that God was able to deliver them and waiting to see what was going to happen. And so we find now they've come out. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be." Now he's changed his tune, hasn't he? Do you think he was ended with his anger? No, God changed it. "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee." God brought Nebuchadnezzar to the point of praising God. Wow. That's the greatest king on the face of the earth in that day. And yet God turned his wrath to praising him. I like that, don't you? And he can still do it today. All right? All right, so he says, then said Nebuchadnezzar, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him." I'm glad he recognized that. That the reason they were delivered is because they trusted God. All right? "And hath changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." May God give us the grace to do the same today. We only want to worship our God, the one true and living God. All right? So now the king has changed his tune. Verse 29, "Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Amen. Praise God on high. What a God we have, who is able to change a king's mind, who is able to change a king's heart, who's able to turn the laws of physics and keep them from harming one of his children. Then the king promoted. Look at this. These three go from a point of being condemned to die because they refuse to obey the king's commandment. They're being promoted in the province of Babylon. All right? Promoted. And if you think about, I doubt anybody here has been threatened with a fiery furnace. But in a lot of subtle ways, as we live our lives, we face opposition when we try to do what's right. This is an extreme lesson. There were those who trusted God, even though they knew that the commandment was, and for all reasonable thinking, they knew they were going into that furnace. But they trusted God anyway. You know, that's the same persuasion that Job had. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. May God help us to see, yeah, this is an Old Testament lesson, but it's a New Testament teaching. It's just as alive and well today as it ever has been. May God help us to lay hold upon the great truths here that we can trust God for whatever we need. That doesn't mean he's going to give us what we're looking for. It just means we can trust God and he will deliver us in that way which is pleasing unto him. No matter what the circumstances, God can take care of us. May God bless you, is our prayer.